Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is Ross Barkin. And Ross has recently written an article about Michael Bloomberg and how he has helped the Republican Senate when there was control of the state Senate. So Ross writes for what newspaper do you write for?
Well, I'm a Guardian columnist. I'm also a contributor to Gothamist and The Nation. So I write for a few places.
Okay, so Ross is going to talk about Michael Bloomberg and his affinity for the Republicans. So when you did that piece recently on Michael Bloomberg, you already knew about all of his affiliations with the Republicans, right?
Yes. It was among journalists who had covered him and those who had followed him. It was well known, and he's very open about it, that he was a supporter of local Republican organizations, Republican politicians, in particular the Republican state Senate. Of course, listeners probably know that the Republicans controlled the state Senate for most of the last 50 years, and they held a majority for almost all 12 years of Bloomberg's term. And he was someone who wanted to ensure he got the most out of the Senate. So he donated them very heavily, over $2 million during his tenure. But he also is someone who didn't want the Democrats in control either. So he refused to help Senate Democrats, and this created a lot of bad feelings on the left.
So I'm now that he's running for president, I'm sure that there's a lot of people nationwide who understand what Bloomberg did in New York. Do you think his chances are not good, fair, or excellent to possibly win the nomination?
I'd say actually win it outright, his chances are not good. He can impact the race just by how much money he's spending. It's an unprecedented amount of money, and that is concerning just because of what it means for a democracy. One individual can indeed spend perhaps $1 billion or more dollars on a campaign. I don't think he has a very viable path to the nomination. A lot needs to go right for him. Several candidates need to collapse, and he also needs to improve his favorability numbers. He has the highest unfavorabilities of any Democrat running in this primary, and that's pretty striking considering he's a new candidate. He's never run for national office before.
So tell everybody listening a little bit about what he did in New York State, how he aligned himself with the majority of Republicans when it was in control of the state Senate. I know he gave them a lot of money.
Yeah, so he gave a lot of money, over $2 million to the Senate Republicans. He supported them because his agenda often aligned with them and not the Democrats. He's a major supporter of charter schools. Senate Democrats do not support charter schools, and most rank and file Democrats don't. He was a major ally of the real estate industry, did not believe in strong tenant protections or rent regulations. And so he also found common cause there with the Senate Republican agenda. They're very much aligned on fiscal matters. They didn't support raising the minimum wage. They were aligned on criminal justice matters. Both of them supported tough on crime policies. Both of them supported stop and frisk. So really, it was both a practical move for him because they were in the majority, and also it was an ideological move that they shared many of the same goals. The only places they diverged were on social issues. Bloomberg was an early supporter of same-sex marriage, and he fought in Albany to get it done. Cuomo ultimately pushed it across the finish line, and Bloomberg tried to help the Republicans who did vote for gay marriage.
Oh, and then he gave a substantial amount of money to the IDC. Tell us a little bit about that.
So it's in 2012, about a year into the IDC's existence, he gave them $75,000 on the same day. He gave $1 million to the Republicans. And the,
wow,
the IDC for him was a natural cause in that they were Democrats who are not aligned with the Senate Democrats. That this was before they had formed their governing majority with the Republicans, but at this point they were not helping the Democrats, and it was believed that one way to keep Democrats out of the majority would be for the IDC to help the Republicans. So this was in 2012, and the Democrats were fighting very hard for a majority. They had a real chance of doing that. They actually won the numbers to do it, and Bloomberg's money helped stop them and help the Republicans stick around for several more years.
Wow. So when did Bloomberg step down as mayor of New York? What year was that?
The end of 2013, he was termed out. So,
okay.
Yeah, he de Blasio started in the beginning of 2014.
So in those couple, it was only a couple of years that, BIDC was formed. So he was a benefactor, and he kind of gave them, you know, a little boost. Would you agree with that?
Well, yeah, he gave the IDC a lot of money. So that's helpful. And it also is helpful for them that he wasn't helping Democrats. You know, the Senate Democrats never got a cent from Michael Bloomberg, and they remember that. And the fact that there was this major donor that wouldn't help them, you know, that did not help. They always had trouble fundraising when Republicans are in the majority. Now they have the majority and they have no problem fundraising. It's the Republicans who are on the defensive.
Oh, wow. So I find that very interesting. So what Michael Bloomberg had done in New York as far as helping Republicans, will that resonate throughout the country?
Not in a Democratic primary. Democratic primaries are about commitment to causes. They're about ideological consistency. And it's not a message that will help him, that he supported Republican causes. If he somehow made it to a general election, maybe, but he's also not very popular. He has very high unfavorables. He doesn't really have a following in terms of rallies and, you know, major fan bases. So, but he has a lot of money and he's going to spend it. And that's his best asset. He's going to try to really spend his way to the top, and to be determined if that works or not.
Well, you know, he's going to pour a lot of money into this race without much, you know, hope of becoming the nominee. And he doesn't really have a field operation in any of the states. Why do you think he's doing this?
I mean, he is building one now. He is building field operations in beyond the first four states and the Super Tuesday states and beyond. I think he genuinely knows this is his last time to run. He's not getting any younger. He's got
right.
a very big ego. He's very wealthy, and he thinks he can do better. And he's won before, and he figures, I can win again. I really think he does believe in himself. and he believes he can pull it off and prove people wrong.
Now, in the state of in the city when he was mayor, he was he aligned himself with real estate developers. Do you think that that's beneficial to him now?
In his presidential race, not particularly. No, it's not a bonus. No. Thinking among progressives who don't like him already, it certainly doesn't help win them over.
So do you think this is going to fracture the fragile thing going ahead as far as a clear-cut winner for the nomination for the Democrats? Do you think his entry is going to hurt or help them?
I mean, he could create the possibility of a brokered convention. I don't know how many delegates he's going to get. I'm not particularly bullish on his ability to collect delegates. But you never know. There's a possibility of a brokered convention. Certainly, his presence in the race is not going to is not going to make it more likely there's an outright winner. I think the odds are very long that he is the one, that he'll be the one to emerge victorious from this broker convention. I mean, that's highly unlikely. So I don't see what his path to victory is.
So he bought his way into a third term. Did you, and you live in the city, when he did that, how did you feel about that? Because, you know, the mayor of New York has been two terms for a long time. What did you think of the fact that he kind of manipulated that he got himself a third term? And what was the point in it?
It was very unpopular with a lot of voters. It was a reason his reelection was so close. It was the reason de Blasio won in 2013 running against it. You know, people supported two terms and he thought he could get the third. He got it through the city council. And he believed at the time that he was the person who should be in charge of the city. It was after the financial crash of 2008. And he believe that he should be the one to lead us out of it. It was just a very unpopular decision, and it probably hurt his legacy.
So overall, it hurt him, right? Would you agree?
Yes, his third term. He would probably have been a much more popular mayor had he left after two terms.
Okay. So, what's your thoughts on Michael Bloomberg aligning himself with the Republicans? And now, you know, what's an interesting point is if he's got all this money, why didn't he challenge? And he's been a Republican for a long time. Why didn't he challenge Donald Trump instead of running as a Democrat nationwide?
It would have been an interesting move to challenge Trump. His problem basically was that he would have no chance of beating Donald Trump in a primary, and Republican primary voters would not support him. So he knew that going in. I think he believed, well, the Democrats could support me. I don't think that's really true either, but he would be dead on arrival in a Republican primary. That's very clear. He would not win any states, and Trump would embarrass him.
Really? Wow, that's amazing. Because amongst Democrats, Trump isn't a very popular man. So you think Trump's base of support amongst Republicans are still pretty strong?
very strong. Yes, he's got an approval rating in the Republican Party of about 90%. He's very popular with Republicans. So he has a base, and Bloomberg would have no chance of winning over Republicans. If the choice is him or Donald Trump, they prefer Trump by a long shot.
Wow. So, you know, with Bloomberg in it, and nobody has a crystal ball, what would you say is going to happen in the Democratic primary, ultimately? And who do you think might emerge?
I think Joe Biden, for now, is the front runner. He is the candidate to beat. I think Bernie Sanders has a good shot of competing deep into the primary calendar and an outside shot of winning the nomination. I think Elizabeth Warren is still viable. Pete Buttigieg is probably the fourth most likely candidate there. You know, but it's hard to say. It's pretty wide open. But Joe Biden is as of today the most likely to win the nomination, and that can change. But he's out in front by a little bit, not by a lot, but he's out in front.
Okay, so you know, as the presidential cycle unfolds, Ross, I'd like to have you come back on and, you know, talk about Bloomberg and talk about, you know, other personalities. So, you know, I know you ran for state senate last cycle. Was your experience positive or exhausting, or would you ever do it again?
It's definitely very positive. I enjoyed it a lot. It's not easy. It's tough. You know, I would say, would I do it again? I don't know. Probably not for state senate. But it was a positive experience, and I can only say good things with the people I met and the issues we ran on. And I'm very proud of what we did.
Great. So, Ross, I'd love to have you back on as the presidential cycle evolves. So give yourself a little plug again.
Okay. So I'm a journalist and writer. I contribute to Gothamist. I have a column for The Guardian. And I contribute to The Nation, some other publications as well, and writing mm-hmm. on local and national politics both.
Great. So thanks, Ross. You've been listening to Ross Sparkin, and this is Focus on Albany. So if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes if you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany. Ross, have a great day, have a great holiday season, and thank you, everybody, for listening.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.